We all got to go through the fire. The fire season is that season in our lives when that sanctifying Matthew 3:11 reality kicks in. It's God sanctifying, purifying. We know about instantaneous and progressive, but it's God removing things from inside of us and even from outside of us that would hinder the fulfillment of his purpose in our lives. That fire season, it's uncomfortable. The fire of God doesn't make you dance. The fire of God makes you get on your knees in repentance. The fire of God is a sanctifying, a purifying fire. And sometimes he'll remove people from around you that would have held back the fulfillment of his purpose in you. So it's drought, fire, and rain. If you've been through your drought and you've been through your fire, I need you to get ready. Because the next thing coming your way, if your family has been through its drought, if your family has been through the fire, I need you to get ready. There's something coming your way. I feel glory as I share this. The next thing coming your way is going to shift everything. If you've been through your drought and been through your fire, the next thing coming your way is nothing less than abundant rain. This is at least for 5 people here. If you believe you're about to see the rain of Ezekiel 34:26, if you're ready for the, I feel God. If you've been through your drought and you've been through your fire, put a smile on your face and a praise on your lip. I hear the sound of abundant rain coming your way. I hear the sound of abundant rain, Maui, coming your way. Acts 3:19. Repentance followed by a refreshing outpouring of God's glory. Somebody shout, here comes the rain. Somebody shout, here comes the rain. Let me land this real quick. It's drought, fire, and rain. And little side note, by the way, little side note. Those that prayed with you in the drought deserve to dance with you in the rain. Somebody say, here comes the rain. The mantle of speaking truth with love. There's a new anointing. There's a fresh 1 John 2:27 anointing coming your way. For ye have received the anointing, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. There's a refreshing anointing. Acts 3:19. Boom, all coming together. Your way, my way, that will enable us to overcome and defeat the spirit of Ahab, Jezebel, and Baal once again. That's what's coming your way. It's the mantle of the Spirit, the mantle of drought, fire, and rain, and the mantle of speaking truth with love. What does that mean, Pastor Sam? That's what Elijah did. Elijah calls upon the people of Israel. You all know the story. This amazing Netflix sort of type series on top of Mount Carmel. Everything in production is there. He calls them up. The people of Israel showed up. 1 Kings 18:21, one of the most tragic verses in the Bible. The prophet confronts God's children and says, it's time. Y'all need to make a choice now. Will you serve the God of Ahab? Will you serve him and his God Baal? Or will you serve the God of our fathers? It's time. We need to tell not the world. The world will always be the world. The devil will always be the devil. We need to look at the church and speak to the church. And say, how long will we be silent? How long will we be politically correct and do kumbaya Christianity? How long will we refuse to talk about and preach about the things that are impacting culture and society? It's truth with love. He says, make a choice. What side will you select? And the Bible says that the people of Israel said nothing. That's called political correctness. God's people went woke. Right there. Political correctness. I'm not going to choose sides. I don't want to get involved in this battle. I'd rather not say anything. Really. I'm going to repeat this morning. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. I'll repeat that. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. We are what we tolerate. Truth must never be sacrificed on the altar of political or cultural expediency. There is no such thing as comfortable Christianity, and get over yourself. Stop telling me it doesn't matter. We shouldn't talk about Jezebel. These things are going to continue to get worse. Jesus is coming. So don't waste your time telling us we're going to defeat these things. Really? Well, Jesus, well, we're waiting for him to come down. He's waiting for his church to stand up. Truth with love. If all we do is, now we need to speak truth about everything. John 14:6. We need to remind everyone that Jesus is the only way. I said the only way. The truth about the centrality of Christ. The truth about biblical orthodoxy. The truth about Veritas. The truth about itself. The truth. The truth about gender, about identity. The truth about human sexuality and God's design for each and every one of us. The beautiful design for our families and our children. Truth. And we do it all with love. If all we do is preach love, by the way, if all we do is preach love, we're nothing more than California hippies. If all we do is preach truth, then we're mathematicians. The moment we speak truth in love, truth with love, and truth for love, the Ephesians model, we change the world. I'm going to wrap up with a story real quick here. This took place. It's about truth with love. It's a mantle. When, again, y'all heard the story this morning. If you weren't here, get the recording somehow, the podcast, whatever y'all have. Because it's when I was in Assembly of God Church growing up, 11, 12 years of age, that young lady, she was present when it happened. A guy came in, Bernie DeLoe, Teen Challenge, I'm repeating it from this morning, came over and gave me a word and again said, there's a young man, Sammy, in this place. I was like, very young, and they called me out. The only Sammy was me, and he gave me a word and said, Sammy, the Lord says, and he gave everything I'm doing now. And then he wrapped up by saying, oh, and by the way, the Lord says, this is strange, the Lord says you will pray for President of the United States of America. That's a word. There's a fine line between the prophetic and the pathetic. That was legitimately prophetic. God still moves and still speaks. So I got that word. I ran with that word. I didn't know I was going to pray for president. That led me, George, and again, it has nothing to do, in spite of me. God had an ordained plan for me. George W. Bush brought me in as an advisor and never knocked on the door, never asked, never sent a resume. I'm seated with Carl Rove having dinner. And just God just saying, I'm going to fulfill my planning life. I'm going to make it happen. Even one time with Carl Rove, I sat down and said, how in the world did y'all first get me? He said, Sam, I can't explain it. Your cell phone was written on a ripped up piece of paper that landed on my desk. And something told me, call him. Call him. This thing is legit. When God gives you a word, straight up. Like, that's the reason I grew up as, before that, I was like a little quasi-agnostic. I questioned the validity of everything. But man, the mathematical probability of me ending up praying for president because God told me I was going to do it when I was 12 years old. Not too many Puerto Ricans from Pennsylvania end up praying for presidents. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm with George W. Bush when Obama comes in. They invite me to be part of the inauguration. So in 2008, I participated in President Obama's inauguration. And in the morning service at St. John's Episcopal Church, it was myself, T.D. Jakes, Yolanda Adams, Charles Blake, and Rick Warren, and we participated. But it was in the private ceremony, the one right before the steps of the Capitol, right there. From there, we go to the steps. And then, years later, I get this call. It's 2016, and again, I'm a Lamb's Agenda guy. It's not about being Republican or Democrat. The only agenda is the Lamb's Agenda, Jesus Christ, right? But there are biblical values that we will not deny. And we will never sacrifice them. So ever. We're 100% pro-life, pro-religious liberty, and we believe in biblical justice in the name of Jesus Christ. So the new president, President Trump, gets elected. It was my church's, well, you'll get in a second. I'm driving with my wife, and we're driving from San Francisco from a Puerto Rican restaurant in the outskirts of San Francisco, and we were eating something called mofongo. Real good stuff, mofongo. It's plantains. You crush them up. You put shrimp, and you put garlic sauce, and then a tomato-based sauce. Very delicious. You have to have it. Anyway, so we're eating, and we leave, and we're en route to Sacramento, California on Route 80, and we get this call, unknown number. Unknown caller, and I usually don't pick up because I think maybe the IRS, so I usually ignore it, right? And now they're armed. Woo! Good day. So there was unknown. Holy Spirit said, pick it up. Now she was next to me, so I go. Holy Spirit said, pick it up. I usually don't pick it up. Bam! Pick it up. We're looking for Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. I definitely thought it was the IRS. Didn't already read it. I went, speaking. How may I help you? We're calling you from the President's Transition Team, the Senate Inaugural Committee. Reverend Rodriguez, the president-elect, would like you to participate in his inauguration. And I said, wow. Because I thought it was my cousin Paco from the Bronx, right? Not too many Pacos in the Bronx. Okay, all right. Listen, know your audience. Check. Okay. So I, you know, once you like confirmed it was a legit person, and I go, I am honored, really honored. What would you like me to do, sir? Well, the president would like you to participate, Samuel. And I went, great. What would you like me to do? And because I did this before, so I'm trying to get whether it's going to be at St. John's or the Capitol. And the guy says, well, the president would like you to participate. Repeating. I go, would you like me to pray? He says, yes.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
So then I, would you like me to read scripture? He said, why not? My next question as a good Pentecostal preacher, would you like me to raise the offering that night? I did it. That part is not, I thought about it, didn't say it. That's integrity is everything. Didn't say that. Put it in. So, listen, Samuel, Reverend Rodriguez, we're talking about participating on the Capitol steps. Approximately 1 billion people will be watching around the world. We want you to participate, and at your discretion, whatever you want to do, read, pray, totally up to you. I went, wow. I went, well, then he says, well, sir, Samuel, give us your email. You have to be vetted, Department of Justice, FBI, all that, which we've done before. And got it. Yeah, here's my email. And I went, sir, I need something from you. He said, what do you need? I go, sir. He goes, well, you know, we're going to get sequestered and all that. And I went, all right, sir, I'm going to need something from you. He goes, well, what do you need? And I go, I'm going to need 3 weeks to pray about this. He said, what? You need awkward silence, the inflection, everything shifted, like you sensed it. You need 3 weeks to pray about praying? I went, yes, sir. And awkward silence. All right, I guess I'll call you back in 3 weeks, he said. I go, thank you, sir. He goes, no, thank you. Beep. I turned around, I looked at my wife. She's no longer looking at me. She's looking the other way, which is, by the way, is what we call in our relationship a sign and a wonder. I was wondering why she wasn't looking at me. Probably a sign. So, go, why? I go, honey, I need you to activate Pastor Carl, our intercessor, our chief intercessor. And she's looking at me going like, what are you doing? And I'm going, the reason why I wanted to pray, our church in California is very multi-ethnically diverse. It's 40% Caucasian, code word white. 40% African American, which means black. 20% Latino, Native Americans, and Asians. It's beautiful. It really is. It looks like heaven. It's like the most diverse church in the region by the grace of God. It's gorgeous. And my mind is, if I do this, I'm going to lose a good portion of my church. And if I lose a good portion, I'm going to lose some money. I'm going to lay off some staff. And I'm thinking budget implications. That woman looked at me and said, what are you doing? And I went like, we're going to pray. She went, for what? I went, didn't you hear the call? And she went like, I was there. I go, where? I was there when you were a kid in the church when God said you were going to end up praying for presidents. You don't need to pray to see if it's God's will. You need to pray for God to give you the words of what to say when you get on that stage. When a Puerto Rican woman rebukes you, it comes with a greater anointing. So there it is. It's truth with love, the mantle. It's inauguration day. We're sequestered. We're back there. All of a sudden, this is what I get. 48 hours before, Pastor Sam Rodriguez, a famous magazine reporter from a famous magazine, well-known magazine whose name you're right, came over and said, knew me because I've worked with that person for a number of years, looked at me and said, Sam, tell me you're not going to do this. I went, I have to. She went, you can't. People like you. You do both CNN and Fox. You're liked by both donkeys and elephants. So you do this, you're going to lose half your crowd. Don't do it. Don't do it, Sam. Don't do it. I go, I have to do it. Listen, you don't understand. God gave me a word when I was a kid. And the person went, all right, if you're going to do it, promise you're not going to mention the name. And I go, what do you mean? The person said, Sam, you do know for 12 years the name hasn't been mentioned. I go, what? The last time the name was mentioned was by Billy Graham in 2004. That inauguration, the 2005 inaugural. So it's, you don't, because there was an understanding after Billy Graham that the name wouldn't be mentioned in order not to alienate the majority of Americans who no longer subscribe to that name. So please tell me you're not going to use the name. Sam, please, no one has said the name for 12 years. Just, how about this? Even avoid God, Sam. Say faith. Say love. Say hope. But don't be fundamentalist. Don't be so freak. Be different. You know, Sam, there's stuff in Hollywood waiting for you and all these things that they're going to open up for you if you show them that you could be eclectic and you're not a freak like the rest of those nutcases. And so don't say the name. So I looked at her and said, let's see what happens. True story. We went up. Can you put the picture up, please, media team? So this is the picture. So before I stood up on that podium, you see the Obamas, you see the Bidens, the Clintons. I was seated and hiding behind the bushes. I really was. I was hiding behind George W. Bush. And true story. So my seat was behind the bushes. And I'm going to land this, but right before I go up, I get a text. My kids, for whatever reason, they love mom and dad. They love Jesus. They're part of our church ministry. I'm a blessed guy indeed, a blessed man indeed. My daughter, Lauren, my youngest, sends a text. I'm about to go up now. I'm hiding behind the bushes. I'm about to go up. And I get this text. Never got it before. My kid would never disrespect me. Dad, here's the text. Dad, shut your mouth. First thing that went through my mind, I'm about to go up, spiritual warfare. I'm thinking the devil's using my own kids to disrupt me right before this moment, this prophetically assigned moment. So I text back and go, pardon me. And my daughter says, Dad, you're on Fox News and your mouth is wide open right now. I need you to shut your mouth right now because people can see the back of your mouth. Hallelujah! The cardinal from New York went up, didn't mention the name. All of a sudden, yours truly. I was trembling. Just a Hispanic kid from Pennsylvania who loves Jesus. In spite of me, he gave me a word when I was a kid that I was going to end up doing this. So I end up on that podium. I walk up. I was trembling beforehand. I, honest to goodness, you should be hearing like there was so much faith. And I was, no, I was. And it wasn't the anointing. So I went up. The moment I stood up, just the shalom of God. The shalom of God hit me. Everything stopped. It was surreal. I went up, hit the podium. I read Matthew 5. Am I getting shorter now? What just happened here today? What just happened? I don't know. I'm kind of... Oh, look at that. Arise. Yes. Isn't it? Yes. Glory to God. stood behind the podium, looked straight, and then it happened. Everything went through my mind. Everything. And I mean everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everything I've been through, all the attacks from everything, all everything, self-inflicted or externally driven, all the Jezebels and all the Baals and Ahabs I had to confront. And I looked over and I read Matthew 5. I read it, I prayed it, I was about to sit down, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, "Samuel, do it." That mantle fell upon me, and the Holy Spirit said, "Do it. Do it. Watch, watch, do it." So I looked around. The presidents were here. Supreme Court was here. Congress was here. Military chief of staff right here. People were here. And all of that was streaming. That was being broadcast live around the world to nations, not just Christian, but non-Christian, even Muslim nations around the world. BBC, CNN, everyone live around the world. So I looked into the cameras and said, "Respectfully, I make this prayerful declaration in the name of Jesus Christ." YouTube it. The presidents, YouTube it. They said, "Amen." You heard members of Congress say, "Amen." The crowd exploded and said, "Amen, amen." All over the world, I got text, "Sammy, you said Jesus. There are nations that never heard the name of Jesus until you said it on that stage." Everyone reacted. Why did the world respond that way? Hey, King's Church, believe it or not, I know you know it, there is still power in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody lift up the name of Jesus. If you believe there is salvation in that name, lift up your hands. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. Holy in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is breakthrough in the name of Jesus. There are miracles in the name of Jesus. Hey, there is still power in the name of Jesus. Our children will be saved in the name of Jesus. Our families will come to Christ in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. We're done. Stand with me. You are. That name. That name. That name. That name is everything. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Everything you do, do for the glory of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31. No other name given unto man through by which salvation has come into all mankind but the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and there they are safe. Jesus. The power of that name. Jesus. There's an anointing. There's an anointing. There's a fresh anointing coming your way. It's the mantle of the Spirit. It's the mantle of drought, fire, and rain. It's the mantle of speaking truth with love, elevating and exalting the name of Jesus. That anointing will enable us to change the world around us. There's power in that name with your hands raised. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray over you and pass the baton and just decree and declare this word over your life. Father, in Jesus' name, upon every single person here, we unleash the fullness of this mantle of anointing. Lord, we speak by faith through the vicarious atoning finished work of Jesus Christ, the reality that there is still power in that name. Today, we unleash societal architects and cultural reformers, men and women in this auditorium and those streaming around the world, that in their space, in Jesus' name, for the glory of Christ, we'll see Jezebel, Ahab, and Baal defeated once again in our generation. From Alaska to Hawaii, all points in between, hey, we're going forth in the spirit of Elijah, which is the spirit of the living God. And we will do nothing less in Jesus' name than change the world. God bless you and God keep you. Thank you.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.